Somewhere along the line, I heard it said that every person you meet has at least one thing to teach you. And here's the at least one thing that I learned from Tony Da Silva. That would actually be Father Tony Da Silva of the Society of Jesus, a Jesuit brother of mine, although I wasn't a Jesuit at the time. Tony wasn't the first Jesuit that I had ever met. He was, I don't know, the fifth or the sixth or something like that. Here's the circumstances. Way back when, I was in graduate school in Ann Arbor at the University of Michigan, who really screwed it up against Wisconsin yesterday. But my dad would be happy. Anyway, I worked in a place called the Pilot Program, a living learning community for first and second year students. We hired graduate students to teach courses and live on the corridor and keep whatever semblance of peace they could. And into one of these interviews came Father Tony Da Silva, which really kind of set off some of the people on the committee. You know, this was Ann Arbor in 1976, okay? So the idea of a priest coming in, well, that was a little bit strange. But Tony was also exotic because he came from India. So in the end, after the interview was over, the committee voted to hire him. I guess that exotic from India trumped Jesuit priest, ultimately. Anyway, I don't remember a thing about the interview except that at some point, one of the people asked him a kind of a loaded question, which was, what do you think you stand for? What do you think you stand for? And Tony, without batting an eye, said, well, I've thought about what I hope to stand for a lot, and I hope that what I do is that I love people and use things, and not the other way around. That I love people and use things, and not the other way around. And then went on to talk about how he had come to learn that, and how often it was that he saw people do it exactly the opposite way. How they used people and loved things instead. As I said, I think we can learn at least one thing from anybody we ever meet. And now, not only did I learn that, but you just learned it too. The Da Silva principle, we might just call it, to love people and to use things and not the other way around. And curiously, I couldn't help but think about it when I came to the punchline of today's gospel. That you cannot love both God and mammon. A strange word there, mammon. It has an Aramaic root. Aramaic was the language that Jesus himself spoke, and so the word got translated directly into Greek and comes to us today. It doesn't mean money, which is how it's often translated. Rather, it means wealth or riches. In other words, a lot of money, the kind you have to work very deliberately to acquire. So I used to hear this tail end of the gospel, its punchline, you cannot serve both God and mammon, as a kind of line drawn in the sand challenge. No way, you better not do it, don't even try. You've got to love God above everything else. Nothing else is even in second, third, or fourth place. It's God, 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 and that's it. And don't even try that stuff. Well, that was when I was younger, and I've discovered a lot of black and white along the way. And so I don't really hear this as a dire warning so much as I hear it as brotherly advice almost. Jesus kind of counseling us in something here. You might want to try this, he's saying in effect, but you know, it just ain't going to work. It just won't. And you and I kind of know that that's true, don't we? Because I've met, and I bet you've met too, a lot of people with a whole lot of stuff who aren't terribly happy. And meanwhile, we've also met and known, haven't we, people who are incredibly happy, couldn't be happier, and they haven't got a lot of stuff, you know? It's just kind of interesting that way. And so, as I reflected on today's gospel, there were sort of two points I suppose, that made their way to the surface. First, this punchline of the gospel that you cannot serve both God and mammon wouldn't have any punch to it at all if people weren't tempted to love mammon. But we know that they are. We know that we are, which is kind of a fact, isn't it, that we simply have to acknowledge, which is interesting when you stop and think about it. I think at least what Jesus is saying here is that, well, you know, you can do that if you want, but it isn't really a good idea, loving mammon, giving yourself to mammon. If there's a reason why that's true, I think it's a kind of simple reason that we shouldn't give ourselves to mammon for the very simple reason that mammon has no self to give us back. I've learned along the way, maybe you have too, that if we're going to give our faithfulness to something, it better be to something that's going to give its faithfulness back to us. Otherwise, we're making a mistake. Here's an illustration. I got the news on Friday that my Aunt Lorraine had passed away. She's 93 years old, one of the last, but not quite the last, of that generation. She had broken her hip on Tuesday. She hadn't fallen and broken it. You know how these things happen sometimes. It just broke. And so they rushed her to the hospital and put her on a morphine drip. And when that word came around, we all knew that her time was coming near. So that gave her daughters and their families plenty of time to gather by her bedside. And so that when she passed on Friday, she did so surrounded by her family. That's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it? When you go, to be surrounded by your family like that. I found myself thinking about that, though. You know, there she was, surrounded by her family as she passed. None of their cars came, you know. And my Uncle John was a doctor, and they had a lot of money, at least the rest of us thought so. And they had a lot of really nice cars, the kind of things that we were really jealous of, actually. And speaking of jealous, what we were also jealous of was that they were the first in the family to have a color TV. Back when that was really something, you know? You think that color TV showed up? Or her jewelry? Or the boat? Or the swimming pool? Or a stick of furniture? Or that nice house that they had an architect design in Independence, Iowa? Think any of that stuff showed up? None of it. But there she was, surrounded by her family, and that family that was gathered there was surrounded by another family, the invisible family, her own parents, her husband John, my uncle, who had passed away better than a decade ago, their son Doug, who predeceased both of them. They were all there. You can bet on that. And now that she's passed, you suppose that any trip she ever took or any vacation home she might have owned is going to shed a tear for her? Or do you think perhaps their bank account is going to turn to her stock options and say, you know, my life was so much richer for having known Lorraine Mokel? You know? But we'll say those things and we'll shed those tears as we commend her soul back to God on Wednesday, the God in whom she placed her trust. Why are we like this? Why are we like this? Putting our faith in things which, when it comes to it, will only abandon us. Only abandon us. And yet we do it over and over and over again, and when we're gone, there goes Mammon, looking for the next poor fool whose heart he can steal. So that's one of the things that occurred to me about this, that putting our faith, giving ourselves to something that can't give itself back to us, that's a big, big mistake. Which leads me to the second point. When Jesus says, you cannot give yourselves to God and to mammon, I find myself wondering, is there something that we can give ourselves to and give ourselves to God at the same time? Is that possible, do you think? And as I thought about that, why, there was Tony Da Silva sitting in that chair for his interview at the pilot program again, saying, I really hope that I can love people and use things and not the other way around. So the answer to the question whether there is anything that we can love and love God has got a kind of disappointing answer, but a good answer to it. There is no thing that you and I can love and love God too. But there is a someone that we can love. A someone that we can love and love God as well. And those are the people to your right and to your left, in front of you, behind you, down the street, the people around you when you were waiting to check out at Kroger's when last you were there, the folks you read about all over the world, in our world today, all of those people to the degree that we love them, well then we love God. I become convinced of that in point of fact. I think that that's absolutely true. You and I are commanded to love God, and we love God, I think, exactly as far as we love people, and not one inch farther. And the more we love people, the more we give ourselves to them, and the more different from us they are, and the more unlikely of our love we may initially think them to be, the more we love those people, the more somehow we love God and are close to Him. Funny thing about it, isn't it, when you stop and think about it, they go together, you know? You cannot love both God and mammon, as that Jesus says today, or as Tony Da Silva said, I hope to love God and love people and use things and not the other way around. They go together. There are two sides, I think, of one coin, ultimately. We know and know well that the great commandment is that we should love the Lord our God above all else with our heart and mind and soul and strength and so on. And we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Those two things go together. Time was when I thought that if I loved God with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength and all my mind, I wouldn't have anything left over for anything else. I wouldn't be able to love anything else. And you know what? I was right. If I loved God with my whole heart and soul and strength and mind, I really wouldn't be able to love anything else, because I would have been too busy loving everyone else.